Hey, good morning. So you can go ahead and open up your Bibles if you on your phone or paper or whatever you got to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's where we're going to be focusing mostly on this morning. I want to lead us in just a real quick prayer, and then I had a video I wanted to share with you before we jump into the chapter here. So let's just lift up these next few minutes to God. God, you are so much more than what our words can say. We don't have the words or the actions to adequately express how much we love you and how much you deserve and how much you've done for us. But I just pray, God, that through your power you can speak to our hearts this morning. That you can just allow me to just disappear and get out of the way of this text that we're going to be in, and that we would just see you more clearly, just in our worship, in one another, and just the service that that we do for each other. God, I just want to lift up this time to you, and I thank you, God, for everything that you've done, and it's through Christ. Amen. So let me go ahead and show you that video real quick.
Previously on Church Hunters.
This is your first church. This is Creekside First Baptist.
Honestly, right up front, didn't love the name.
The Sunday morning experience was just a little too traditional.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Hey, good.
Doing
how
good,
are you?
Doing good.
So I know you didn't love the traditional vibe of the last place, okay? But I think this church is really going to do it for you.
Yeah.
It takes relevance to a whole new level. Behind me, you will see molded clay, jar art, tapestry, canvas, mosaic church.
Mm, I love
beautiful.
It.
Right? So you've heard of interdenominational.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you've heard of non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this church identifies as inter-non-denominational.
Wow, that's perfect for us. It really is.
But here's the kicker. A lot of celebrities go here.
Yeah.
What?
Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, we love him.
Yep.
We really do.
Ben Higgins from ABC's The Bachelor.
Perfect.
Several Real Housewives.
Ooh.
And Usher even came here one time.
Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah, well, follow me. Come on.
Let's do it.
So refreshing. Honestly, that last church was just way too traditional. It was
too
much.
It was like we left there feeling convicted. Like, right?
Right. We're looking for more of a Tony Robbins type sermon.
Like inspiration, like a TED Talk with a Bible verse.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right?
It's perfect here.
We love it.
It really is.
We love it.
Awesome. Cool. Well, you guys know a lot of contemporary pastors speak out of the Message Translation Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or this pastor speaks out of a brand new translation. It's the Tumblr Bible.
Shut
We love Tumblr,
up.
Though.
This is great.
Wow.
A lot of emojis, a lot of abbreviations.
Oh, I couldn't ask for one. And how many seats in here?
Oh, it is 6,000 altogether.
Babe, 6,000.
Wow.
I got to be in this worship band.
That's
Imagine
true.
Me up on that Jumbotron mid-guitar solo.
Do you know how many Instagram likes you get?
Oh,
my gosh. We find it hard to find a church right now because I grew up Catholic.
I grew up Baptist, so...
So, like, we drink.
Yeah, but in private. I mean, obviously, you get it.
Basically, in terms of, like, worship, I think we're looking for, like, a Jesus culture type feel.
Oh, I love them.
Hillsong, obviously.
Oh,
obviously,
leading you to the cross?
Hillsong's great. Like a Bethel, minus the spontaneous stuff.
Yeah.
Just for me, I connect in worship more when the leader is attractive. Personally, I'm a Carrie Job guy.
Well, she's married.
So is Christian Stanfield.
Wow.
So one of my personal favorite things about this church is the service times.
Okay.
There's an 8:30, a 10, a 1 o'clock, a 5:30, and even a 7 o'clock service.
Oh, there's something around like 2-ish?
Yeah, for us, for what we need, 2:15 is best.
Yes.
How many songs do they do during worship?
Usually five and a half, depending on where the Spirit leads.
Wow, babe, is that a lot?
Well, if that's too much for you, they have a program here called the Worship Assist Program.
Okay.
So if you ever get tired during worship, an intern will come out and just hold your arms up. You just keep worshiping the King of Glory.
Just like that.
Wow.
I love it. You can still look super spiritual.
And my arms get so tired from yoga.
Same.
I actually like this church. I think we can make it work.
It was all right. I mean, it was good. But, like, I emailed the pastor, and he didn't immediately respond. So we're taking these vessels elsewhere.
I like just how It makes fun of it, but it's true at the same time. You know, that's what we do. Our culture does in, you know, just Western culture. And I think that where we're going to be kind of speaks to this mindset. We're going to come back to some of those thoughts here, too, in just a second. But I went blank. There we go. All right. So let's jump in here to chapter 1. He says, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Have you ever been around somebody who is like always talking about Jesus or anything? Like, their passion comes out in what they're talking about. You know, if it's cars, you know, whatever it is, usually they're going to find a way to... I can probably work ice cream into any conversation, okay? You can challenge me in that if you want to later. But for Paul, he, in just these first 10 verses, Paul mentions Jesus 10 times in 10 verses, okay? Every sentence is about Jesus. And I just love that, like, it's obvious that's where his heart is. We look at the book of 1 Corinthians and we usually turn it into a thing where, like, we think Paul is just getting on some, like, just trying to be really bossy and give a bunch of, arguments and stuff about what they need to be doing and how they can be better and all this kind of stuff. But just to see where his heart is, it's in Jesus. It's in Christ. Everything is about that. Kind of what he does here is he's talking about their previous life, currently, and then where Christ has taken them in the future. It kind of reminds me of Colossians. In the book of Colossians, Paul says, everything, okay, everything in the universe was made in him, was made through Jesus, was made for Jesus, right? Everything in creation, our past, our present, our future, it all belongs to Christ, and it's all made to glorify him. And he says, back up in verse 2, that we've been sanctified, right? We've been made holy. Anyone who calls on the name of Jesus. It's not, as the Corinthians might like to hear, it's not all who have the gift of speaking in tongues. It's not all who don't eat meat sacrificed to idols or who do sacrifice to idols. It's not, you know, everybody who wears the right clothes. It's not even the people who have their lives really together. It's everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. We know we're not perfect, right? But if we're consistent with Scripture, then we do have to admit and confess God does make us holy, right? We're not perfect, but in God's eyes, we are holy because he looks at us through Christ, through his Son. All right, I want to skip here to verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Okay, we need a little bit of background on Corinth. So Corinth had been destroyed, just leveled out by the Romans about 150 years before Jesus, okay? And then Julius Caesar came about 50 years before Jesus, okay? So 100 years after it had just been desolated. Julius Caesar comes back and he rebuilds the city of Corinth as a Roman colony. All right, you know Romans are pretty proud. They're proud of their culture, just like the Greeks were. And something that was a staple of any Roman colony, of any Roman city, was you would have these intellectuals, right? They're called sophists, right, for wisdom. They would go around and they would find places that they could teach in, get disciples, and then people would be like analyzing their philosophy. And as opposed to maybe today where, you know, everybody goes and sees the same movie like Marvel Superheroes or something like I like to go watch, and then everybody gets together after you watch the movie and be like, I don't know, I don't think Thor did it, you know, the right way, or Iron Man's way better than, you know, or whatever, and that kind of stuff. What they did, all right, they just went around and they listened to these philosophers talk about what they thought the meaning of life was, or, you know, all these different kind of things. And they would gather disciples, you know, whoever agreed with them, they'd kind of follow them around while they were there in the city, and then they would leave and they'd say, well, I went and I listened to whoever, you know. And it seems like that's what happened. That's what sort of started seeping into the church. The church adopted the same mentality. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter or Cephas. And I know that probably as soon as I walked up here that 90% of you, probably, you know, probably 100% of you, including me, Jeff's not preaching this morning. We got Brad again. And even for me, like, I love Jeff, right? I listen to preachers all the time. I have my favorites, and he's one of my favorites because I know that the things that he says is coming from a place in his life that's just so real, right? But it can be tempting. It can be tempting to make it more about the preacher, the songs, whatever, than it is about the message. And you know, if you know Jeff, you know that's his greatest fear in life, that anybody would be more attracted to him than they actually would be to Christ. But it's tempting, right, to bring our clipboards to church, you know? And just like in the video, I think, I don't know, 5.5 songs is a lot of songs, you know, to be lifting my hands up, or, you know, all these different things. There's another video you can go watch. That was episode 2. There's another one before that. But we all can be guilty of coming to church with that same kind of attitude. We've got these scorecards in our head. You know, what was the pace of worship? Did we stand too long? Did we, you know, what's that all about? And what I love about this family, honestly, is that it's not about who's got the microphone. You know, God knows, and you all know, I make a mistake every time I get up here, especially when I'm leading worship. I'm going to butcher a song. You can count on it, right? But the focus, you know, the focus is on Christ, and I think you all remind me of that more than anything. You know, there's some great preachers, there's great teachers, there's great worship leaders all around Fort Collins, you know, all these churches, right? But Paul is reminding all of us as Christians, none of them were crucified for you. Christ is crucified for you. Be one, get along. He starts saying in verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews, folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men." And this is really kind of the meat of what I wanted to bring out this morning. So here comes Paul into Corinth, a pagan city that prided itself in being able to analyze, to understand, to critique anything that they're told. And he starts talking about this Jewish guy named Jesus, who was a carpenter, who became a religious and social outlaw, essentially, who was killed on a cross, executed as a criminal, and raised from the dead, and now he's the Lord and judge over all creation, and he's defeated death itself, and we all need to be faithful to him, okay? He knew the response he was going to get from that message. It wasn't, all right, where's the nearest baptistry? Let's all go. That wasn't going to happen like it did to Peter at Pentecost. This is Corinth. These are a different sorts of people, right? He knew that that wasn't going to happen. They weren't just going to respond in the same way. They're thinking, this isn't a new philosophy. This is madness. This is weird and graphic and crazy, right? And so Paul doesn't go there and speak to them in the language that they were expecting, right? He didn't go there as a teacher intending to wow them with his rhetorical arguments and all this kind of thing. He didn't go up there and give, you know, a mic drop speech so that he could have. He could have done that, but he didn't want any credit or accolades to go to him for being a great speaker. Because he knew in Corinth that that was pretty likely to happen. If he went there and just wowed people, they would be even more likely to be more attracted to Paul than they were to Jesus and to the gospel, right? He knew that there's more power in simply telling the story than getting into a debate. And I think that's something that we all need to realize. There's time for debate, maybe sometimes. There's definitely always time for conversation. But Paul's initial conversation, okay, was simply just to let the story of Christ come out. He didn't need to, extrapolate all of these biblical texts and explain the Greek and the Hebrew and, you know, talk about all these apologetics. It was just telling the story of Christ. You know, that's where he started. What he says right after this, not many of you were wise according to the world. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. It says he chooses foolish things. He chooses weak things. I like David's comments this morning and several weeks ago. I was teaching a class on Sunday morning on Judges, and we were talking about Samson, and he mentioned that he gets frustrated with the artwork that depicts Samson because he's always, you know, huge and muscular, right? Like a big old bodybuilder. And I thought he had a great point that they were trying to figure out the secret of his strength, right? If he was a huge, massive bodybuilder, then they wouldn't have really thought, well, he's got some secret. They would have just thought, well, he's worked out all of his life and he's super strong, right? Instead, he probably looked something more like me. And obviously, if you're going to look like me and rip a gate off of its hinges, then it's going to turn some heads, right? I don't know. I think that's what he does over and over again through Judges, through, you know, all these people in Scripture, is he finds those that are weak and he gives them incredible strength to accomplish what God needs to have accomplished for his kingdom. Paul says, you know, in these verses, you were nobody. Anything that you are, any gift that you think you have, it's a gift. It's not something that you've developed on your own, and it's not your own brilliance and genius and everything else that allows me to use you. You were nobody, but God comes in. I went down to New Mexico to visit Shano, and she was a counselor a few weeks ago. And we had a prayer together, me, her, and Stacy came with me too. And the first thing that she said was, God, thank you for putting your breath in my lungs today. And I'm sitting on this rock, like almost falling over, because, man, that's what it's all about, right? Not only the gifts that I have right now, the breath that I just breathed is God's. And what am I going to do with it, you know? And just to think about every situation that way, it seems to be that these words, but God, are central to Paul. In Galatians 1, he says, but God had set me apart from birth and called me through his grace. After he talked about all these, you know, his life before, he says, but God took me, and this is what he's called me to. In Ephesians, he says, you are dead in your sins, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. I don't ever want to have some kind of flawed thinking where where I think if I do all the right things and if I say everything exactly right, then I'll convince people to give their life to God. You know, and it's going to be because I'm some huge success, right? I'm not saying we shouldn't be diligent students of Scripture. Obviously, we need to be, and of culture around us and people around us. But rather than, you know, I just want to get up each morning and say, God, I know I don't have the words today. I know I probably won't have the energy today. But I know in my weakness, you can give me something to be used. You can give me some words to say. You can give me exactly what I need. And it's not going to be me. It's going to be you. Paul didn't, you know, when he convinced somebody about the gospel, he didn't go, all right, I am awesome. I am wise. I am a good missionary. You know, that wasn't his reaction. What Paul says is, I'm just a seed planter, you know, and God causes the growth. And just to end here, you know that really the theme of 1 Corinthians as a letter, he says, don't come to church thinking about you. Don't go anywhere and think it's all about you, right? Not just here. The Corinthian church, right, they had their clipboards out saying, I don't know, we didn't sing enough new songs, or that new song we did sing was too new, you know, and I didn't know it. You know, like, they were coming with their clipboards, with their scorecards. The Jews wanted to see miracles, it says. The Gentiles, the pagans, they wanted to hear all the debates and the fine-sounding arguments and these profound shows of rhetoric and human wisdom. You know, I know we've all got our things. You know, teenagers, college students, you know, career people. We all have different things that we're looking for and that we might be judging on. You know, and I don't have any of those things, right? All I've got to show, I don't have any wisdom. I don't have any, you know, amazing illustrations or anything like Jeff or David or, you know, any of these other people that ever come up here and talk. I've got a couple of planks of wood, I've got a handful of nails, and I've got a broken body of a God who loves you and died for you. And that's all I can give, you know. And that's, I think in the end, that's all any of us can give, and that's what we need to focus on. Just to trust the mystery of the gospel and that the power of the cross is going to accomplish what God needs it to accomplish, regardless of how much you know, regardless of how much energy you think you have, whether you're 5 years old or 105 years old, wherever you are, God is going to use you. Just talk about Jesus. Just talk about the cross and what he does. In the next letter, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, if we are crazy, if we seem out of our minds to you, it's because we're not trying to impress you. It's because we're working for God. You know, and I hope whatever reactions I get, whether it's on campus or here or, you know, throughout the city, if somebody thinks I'm crazy or weird or whatever, I hope it's because I'm not trying to impress them, but I'm trying to impress God. I'm just trying to make God smile. What he says right after that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, by the way, is Christ's love compels us forward. You experience the love of God, and it moves me forward into my day, into my week. I'm simply going to keep talking about it. I think there's all kinds of temptations. I know for me anyway, especially as a guy who's supposed to try to be, I don't know, make the gospel attractive to college students and everything else, is like to make a name for ourselves. And really, we're all trying to do that in one capacity for another. And it's tempting to try to do that. But in the end, what Paul says is, if that's your goal, it's not going to get you anywhere. That's not what grows the kingdom. Growing the kingdom is you just simply talk about God. I don't know where any of you are. I know most of you know way more Bible than I do. You're way more passionate than I am. You know, you're a lot more, you know, outgoing or extroverted or whatever than I am. But regardless of what you think about yourself and your own power and your own wisdom, Just remember, it's God working in us, and it's God that's moving through us, and it's God's love that compels us forward into our day. Just talk about the cross. Just talk about Jesus. And this message really is for me than any of you guys, because I'm the one that's tempted to make it more about me than about Christ. But let me just lift up this message. I don't know what it means to you. I know it's not impressive or funny or anything like that. And probably it's a good thing that it's not, I guess, because I want the message just to be about Christ and what he's done for us. And so I just pray that, you know, for us, that that's the message, that that's our life, that every sentence that comes out of your mouth has something to do with Christ in your conversations this week. So let's just lift that up before God. God, we just thank you for what you've done in our lives. I thank you that we have no room to boast. And that if any of us think we're wise or think we know something, that you would correct us. That you would humble us. Remind us that it's never about us. How good we look. How good we sound. God, I just pray that always we would just be totally transparent, and that your love, that your grace, your mercy, forgiveness, everything about you would shine through us, and that that we would simply disappear. That the people around us, because of our conversations, because of our actions, even because of our very thoughts, that you would be glorified, and that we would never seek to lift ourselves up. I pray for boldness. Just as Paul prayed for Philemon, that we can be active in sharing our faith so that we can know all the good things that we have in you. And God, you know how sometimes it's easy to get that mixed up, like we need to know all the things before we can share our faith. I just pray, God, that we have the boldness to share what we know, that you died for us, and that your love is way more than anything else this world has to offer, and it's exactly what we need. I just pray that you would take us into the rest of this week, as weak as we are, as foolish as we are, and use us, and just to know the blessing that it is to be used. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.